Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me is Travis
McClunky
and Brian Malkowitz.
C-Team.
And I am the host, Destin, the Destiny guy. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about that ending to Season of the Undying.
Oh boy, let's talk about that cutscene real quick.
Ooh, yeah.
So when Aldrin came back, there wasn't one?
Yeah, that's the end of the roadmap. We'll get into that. We're going to talk about what else? Some of the Bungie updates, the raid challenge. We'll go over the basic news stuff and the subclass changes. I think the subclass changes is really impactful. But
yeah,
all of us have now had time with the Stadia version of Destiny, and we're going to talk about that. But first, let's just focus in on that season of the dying ending. Really?
Really?
Ooh. Really?
You know, what's funny about it, when we were talking about it the week before the Undying Mind came back, I was just like, we were talking, and then I was like, I kind of just like upset myself by going, like, I wonder what it's going to be. Oh, it's probably just going to be Vex Offensive with Undying Mind at the end.
No.
And I'm like, oh, crap, that's what it's going to be. And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like then you actually read the description of what it's going to be, and it's literally that.
Yeah, it's
like, it was really bad.
It was so bad. It's like I just like they had it so easy. Like you like I don't want to assume that like video gaming development is easy, but like the minimum that they could have done to make it like worthwhile was put in at least the boss room from the Destiny 1 strike. It was already on the Black Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all you needed to do, really. Or just the whole strike. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, they just swapped the boss.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we kind of thought they would do week over week, actually. We thought it would be a different boss.
Yeah,
no,
oh, yeah.
It's just it's the final assault. All right.
But this guy floats, okay? He's got three shields.
What did you think, Travis? Were you
impressed? Man. This is kind of what I was expecting. Actually, I thought it was funny that after it came out and everybody was like, really? There were still like theories like, oh, I bet you once we kill a certain amount of Undying Minds.
Yeah, because they're like, we got to kill millions of it to stop it.
I was like, when are you guys going to learn? Like, this is classic Destiny.
No.
But yeah, obviously, I thought it was disappointing. I didn't like Undying Mind when it began. Or sorry, not Undying Mind. Vex Offensive when it began.
Oh, yeah.
And I still think it's one of the weakest activities.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other activities that are kind of like similar, kind of arena fights from previous seasons are like better, right? Like
if you stack this up against Menagerie or the Season of Opulence.
Yeah. I would even argue like the gun vault things where you're crafting the gun. What are those things called?
Black Armory.
Black Armory. The forges.
I think even the forges are better. At least they had a mechanic.
Well, because they're more impactful because they had really good meta weapons inside them.
They had different bosses they were worth in each.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
there was so many different reasons to actually do them that made it worthwhile.
So overall, this just puts a sour note on the entirety of Season of the Undying, unfortunately, because it's our last impression, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the last thing on the roadmap that we know about. They did post in the update that Iron Banner is coming back this week. It is going to be it's going to be the same Iron Banner, and then going into next season, we're going to be reprising an old armor set, unless I read that improperly. But I believe they did say for the next one. So overall, what are your takes on the final season? Or now that the Season of the Undying has wrapped up, I think it's a pretty good season. There's a lot of interesting stuff. Really bad ending, if that is the ending.
Yeah.
If that's their final assault, like, really?
I'm curious what you think of why you're saying, like, Season of the Undying was good. Because if we're separating this from Shadowkeep, which we should when we're talking about Season of the Undying, like, it's really not that great. Like, honestly, like, I feel like Season of the Drifter, which wasn't really that, like, great, I felt like it was more impactful overall to Destiny than Undying.
What is specifically Season of the Undying versus Shadowkeep? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, no, it's everything that's not related to like specifically the moon in that story. So anything. Oh, say it again.
The raid. That's Shadowkeep.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Isn't that Black Garden?
Yeah, it's Black Garden, but I'm talking about like because season content should, you know, is obviously separate from campaign content.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're gonna talk about Season of the Undying, and its specific content, you know, we should be relating it to like Season of Opulence and Season of Drifter.
Here are the items
rather than big DLCs like Forsaken.
Here are the items with the Season of Undying logo that separate it from Shadowkeep, according to their roadmap. Vex Offensive, the exotic Leviathan's Breath. And Vex Offense Final Assault. Momentum Control. No, that's it.
That test came from. Like, if we want to talk about the artifact was great, but that's not specific to Season of the Undying. We're going to get an artifact with every season.
The season pass, I suppose.
The artifact seasonal is probably and all the mods and everything that came from the artifact is probably the standout mostly from this season.
The cookbook.
The cookbook, yeah. All the various Destiny treats.
Cool concept. Odd marketing play to make a Destiny cookbook. But that was also on the weekly update. But you make a really good point, Brian. Thinking about what Season of the Undying was, it's really hard to differentiate that from
Shadowkeep.
I like Shadowkeep. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no way to get Shadowkeep without getting Season of the Undying.
Of course. So it's hard to separate them in that sense. But if you take Season of the Undying and look at it in a vacuum with nothing of Shadowkeep's relative to it, then it's kind of empty.
Really light.
Yeah.
So that leads me to my next question, and Travis, I want to get your take and then answer this follow up. What do you think they're going to do next season pass? This has made me a little bit concerned about what we have coming down the road because we have three more season passes coming down the road if you bought the $60 version of Shadowkeep.
And you have to buy them all separate of an expansion.
Yeah, and you unless you bought the $60 version, if you got the cheaper entry point, then you're going to have to buy these all separately. What are they going to have? Is it seriously going to be like two exotics? Mm. And then will it be a new mode? Because if it's a whole new mode every season, will Vex Offensive go away?
Yeah, I think Vex Offensive is gone. They've been very clear that there are specific things in each season that'll disappear, and Vex Offensive will obviously be one of those.
Good
most of the mods from the artifact will go away, but I'm sure the barrier and overload rounds.
No. Those mods are going to go away. They're going to do a whole new thing next season.
Well, no. I'm talking. I know most of those mods will go away, but you can't get rid of like barrier mods.
Yeah,
you need those for Nightfalls.
Because you think it'll be they could just change the mechanic.
If they get rid of like unstoppable ogres and barrier enemies, then sure, they can get rid of those mods.
I don't assume all those mods will just go to your collection.
Yeah, the ones that are cheap, but like things like
the artifact mods, they're going. They're resetting the artifact.
They
kind of have to have.
I feel like they if they're keeping over like the unstoppable enemies and the barrier enemies, like those mods can't go away, obviously.
Yeah. How would you do the raid?
Exactly, because those
you take those enemies out and replace
them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think
they're going to take those enemies out. I imagine they won't.
It does seem like a lot of work. So you're probably onto something where at least some of the mods will be returned.
Yeah, like things like Oppressive Darkness and Thundercoil, all those things that are using for actual builds are going to go away.
Yeah.
But things that are like core to like the concept of like anything that came in Shadowkeep will probably stay.
That's an interesting thought.
I think that that's correct, yeah.
So how are you feeling, Travis, about Season 9 dying? And going into the next season, what are your thoughts? Like, are you concerned?
Not really. So overall with Shadowkeep, including Season of Undying, I feel pretty good about the 7.9 I gave it. I think that's like pretty accurate.
Overall, everything's still good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. That's
7.9, a 7 to a 7.9 on IGN scale is good.
7.9 is really good. It's really good. Almost great. Right. I think that kind of describes this season as a whole, including the Shadowkeep release. Obviously, I think that that's important to keep together since you can't really buy. You can't really buy the season pass without buying Shadowkeep right now.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know if you can right now, but I imagine you can after post.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but so I don't know if you want to buy a season pass when Season of the Undying is no longer really
It'll probably be discounted.
Yeah. So the reason I'm not that worried, though, is because I think that they had Shadowkeep this season, right? That was kind of separate, but next season it's just the season pass.
Yeah.
So they have to provide more than they don't have like an expansion coming with the season to give you content on top of it. Yeah,
Season of Dawn can't hide behind the content that Shadowkeep has.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's likely, considering Bungie hasn't said anything about Season of Dawn, that we're not going to get a raid. Because if there's a raid, that stuff they market, you know, a month or so in advance. So I
don't think they're ready to do marketing. We still have 20 days in the battle pass. They'll probably start teasing it a week.
I think maybe
next week.
I think Season of Drifter, I think they didn't even like show anything up until like a week before that even dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is one thing to let Travis continue. Sorry, Travis. But they say the impact of your victory has not been made clear just yet. But in time, you will learn about how this will further evolve the world as we transition into the next season. So we are about to learn that. Anyway, yes. Finish your point.
So. Yeah. So I'm not super concerned about it. I think that they'll figure out some way to give us content. But I mean, we should look at this for what it is, which is the season model that they implemented was a direct result of them not being able to keep up with the release model that they had before. So
or the demand.
Or the demand for it. So I think this is a way to give players who just want to play Destiny every day something to do. Like the season progress bar is always going to be there. You're going to have artifacts to earn and all that. But I'm not super concerned. Just in general, I think that the only thing that would that makes me a little worried is like they already sold everybody the season pass because like everybody who bought those things. And so it's kind of like, do they? I think that's a pessimistic way to think of it.
Moral is like we shouldn't be comparing like seasonal content drops to Shadowkeep or Forsaken like the big yearly you know expansions to the game.
It's hard to separate. They like mix them all together. So there is one other topic I sort of want to talk about while we're on Season of Undying. Brian, did you get Undying?
No, I have to. I need to get 2100 in comp and I need like I think like 20 weapons. More. Yeah, and I need like 20 more medals for exit strategy.
And you?
No, I didn't even really go for it.
Okay, I'm going to get it. I have to do Vex Offensive like 900 million more times with a specific set of weapons.
That's exactly why
I didn't do it. Honestly, that's like the worst part of it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that's the one you have to do. But
I'll be honest, I really don't like the grind of this title.
Yeah.
It's the competing for kills is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of the problem.
It's I don't know. I don't really feel like the title grind says a lot about, I don't know, some sort of knowledge of the world or something, like being able to kill things with assault rifles.
It's not like
if
you see somebody with Undying over their head, you're going to be like, wow, that guy's a badass.
Yeah,
you're going to be like, wow, that guy had a lot of free time and really put up with that terrible Vex offensive.
To be clear, we don't want titles to be easy to obtain.
No.
Or, you know, it's just that doing a Vex offensive as many times as required to get, you know, all those auto rifle kills, all those fusion rifle kills, all those hand cannon, and all those kills they want.
It's just
exhausting and tiring, especially when you're spending most of the time trying to compete for those kills against your teammates in a PvE environment.
It just seems like a poor implementation of a challenge in the game to me.
Yeah.
I actually did like the Vanguard title tie-in only because I was talking to you about like, oh, how do you think I should get the arc kills? Like, oh, you use bottom tree Titan, you know, and just punch everything. And then I was having fun using all knives like through a whole strike with the chest piece for hunters. And I was like, whoa, I've never done this build before. This is really, really cool.
You're just throwing infinite fan of knives.
Yeah, and they're really powerful. So
I also think it would be cool. The gun one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also just think it would be better if like some seals said something about how you play. Like, if you have the lore title, I'm wearing the lore pin today. If you have the lore title,
is that Chronicler?
That's Chronicler, baby. Nice. If you have the lore pin, it kind of says something about like what you care about or the things that you did. Like, you went out of your way to go get all those collectibles, and I think like they should have fun with that. Like, if I see a title over somebody's head, I should like know something about them. And I feel like if you see somebody Undying over somebody, I'm not really sure what that says about you. Maybe you're a masochist. I think
Dredgen does say that you sort of mastered everything that was required.
But also, you were lucky enough to get all those meatballs. I've gotten plenty of meatballs, and I still don't have the cosmetics needed for that title.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to kill, like, 15, I think, before it popped. But what if they had, like, fun ones, like if you grinded, you know, 30 raids and never got Anarchy, you get, like, a title called, like, Bureaucracy or something.
Oh, yeah, Bureaucracy. Like, so lover of government.
Funny you bring that up. By the way, I'm at, like, what was it, 31 runs 31, in Anarchy? Yeah. Rez said, easy fix for a raid exotic drop. Beat the raid flawless as a guaranteed drop of the exotic. High risk, high reward. I think that's smart. I think that would be a really good implementation. So you're like, okay, we got to do this flawless. I think that would be a good incentive. Or you have a idea. Yeah.
Or you just have a chance of getting it by completing it normally.
That's what I was saying last time. Give a really high bar for people who want to like force it to drop. And then,
yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Good comment, Rez. Anyway, I wanted to ask you guys about Undying. I feel like a lot of these titles are interesting. I got the Gambit title, but you're right. It was tied to the RNG on Meatball, which was sort of dumb, so I had to play a ton
for Dredgen.
Yeah, on Curse Week and after they had done the buff for that particular week. And then they also changed the PvP requirements, but I think the Undying title had some of the most monotonous grind out of all the titles that I've seen. But the other
clearly
titles,
this man doesn't have Reckoning or Reckoner.
Yeah, Reckoner
is really rough.
I didn't have intentions and do not ever have intentions.
But you did Undying. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
I don't have it finished. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't have it finished.
Yeah, I looked at it. I saw
but that's nowhere near as bad as Reckoner.
Yeah,
is it?
You have to get every single set and then do all the grinds each single set.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't do Reckoner. So
real quick. Some other notes this week. Here's what I wrote in the runner show. The final assault was just about the least exciting thing ever. Sorry, but it was not great, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Did you play B2 Vanilla?
Raid Challenge 3, do 10 D2. Motes at a time, send a player to the bank immediately to protect it. I got to credit Sano to Raid for that when he tweeted it out. So, yeah. I didn't do the challenge last week.
The challenge was easy.
I did it this week.
Mostly
you did it this week?
Yeah, it was easy, but mostly because like we've done it on accident a few times. Like because like the strategy that most people do is like 5-10-10-5.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And sometimes when the encounter starts, two Minotaurs will spawn right where you want them to be.
Yeah.
And then that's just the start of you getting 10 and then 10-10.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's easy.
Bungie made a cookbook. Sure. I don't know who that's for, but all right. Iron Banner's coming back. Next season has old armor. Enhanced mods for Iron Banner tokens. Do they mean the ones that you get for turning in any tokens, though? Because I've already gotten all the Banshee ones. I just went to the Vanguard and the Crucible ones, turn in all my tokens till I unlocked all those mods. Wow. All the other ones are through rank ups.
You had a lot of tokens on
there. There's no reason to spend tokens still in this game. Because of the vendor thing that we've talked about.
I guess I just turn them in to get legendary shards. I'm always afraid I'm going to run out and I have like 6,000.
Yeah, I have nearly 8,000 shards, but I still hold on to them.
Yeah, like, I'm always
It's like potions in Skyrim. Like, oh, I need 12,000 of these, but you never use them.
Yeah.
All right, so real quick, let's go over the subclass changes. So Hunter, Gunslinger, bottom way of the shooter, 3-shot auto-aim distance and reliability when ADS. 6-shot has less damage at long range. There's a damage fall off. This one's really, really interesting. Explosive proximity knife sticks to surfaces and detonates when enemies pass.
So they just get a second trip mine grenade.
Yep.
That probably doesn't do nearly as much damage.
The new weighted knife, high damage knife that takes longer to throw, bounces, does more damage to the head. Precision shot blows, recharge the melee completely, and it's a one-hit precision in PvP. People are going to be rolling that build. That's pretty cool, right?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for the PvP implications, and I'm going to be on the receiving end of these knives.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Hunter main, so I'm like, oh, I'm intrigued by that. I'm a Hunter main now. practice makes perfect. It's going to last longer. Knock him down. Precision final blows, increased stability and ADS. With super, you get more damage. But not with Celestial, because Celestial's already great. Line them up. Precision damage on Golden Gun, Jen's Orb of Light, basically.
Line them up in PvP, then. So if you're using it on a boss, you'll gen orbs if you get precision shots on, like, a boss.
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
And I have the full description. These are my, like, Cliff Note versions of the rundown, so we don't go too long. Travis, why don't you read the Titan?
Sure.
I know you read it, but that's your main.
All right, cool.
Let's address something real quick.
Yes.
You were joking last week about OEM, right?
I was just trying to be...
He was being a little facetious.
Yeah.
But to no end, where you didn't really, like, give the audience, like... notification. Like, give them just kidding. OEM needs to be a nerf.
I know OEM needs to be nerfed. I'm a Titan, so I'm being silly.
But he's a Titan. Don't believe him. Yeah. Anyway, how's the Titan changing?
Okay, so the Titan is changing for the middle path of Sunbreaker, which is the code of the Devastator.
The big old hammer.
Yeah, the big old hammery boy that I've used one time. Actually, another thing that somebody yelled at me in the comments about was I said hunters are the only ones who can throw their melee, and somebody was like,
Titans, you can throw the hammer.
I was like, dude, I literally forgot that was in the game. Because nobody uses that build.
What? Yeah.
I've been playing comp lately, and somebody popped that, and I was like, really?
to that subclass's defense, that subclass is very fun to play when like strikes have melee damage and regeneration increased.
I think these changes are going to make it a viable subclass.
I want to throw a melee.
Well, tell the people it is.
All right, so here we go.
You do have a throwable melee.
Yeah, not a good one though. It's terrible. You can pick it back up though. Oh, gimmicks. Okay.
Increases the damage. Read it.
All right, so Roaring Flame buff. It lasts 25% longer. You can build stacks and throwing hammer damage increased. Yes, I like that.
Okay. Did you ever see that video where somebody farmed the strike so he could throw the hammer one time and he kills the final boss?
No, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, you link should check. Me. We'll link you that
link
video.
Me,
really
bro.
Cool.
That's great.
About to get even better.
Lethal in PvP with Roaring Flames pickup is easier. That sounds awesome.
It's closer range. 3.5 meters. It was 2 meters.
Nice. Okay. Mm. Burning Maul lasts longer. Height of the Heavy Slam explosion is more. Mm. Also like that.
So you can get those harpies.
Yeah, so when you slam, it like has a higher thing. Or in PvP, if somebody's jumping and you can proc your super, yeah.
Oh, nice. So we can do some of those.
Oh, you know what? That's
Nova Warp kills.
You know what? That's definitely meant for the people in the next category, but I'll let you finish.
right.
Yeah.
Throwing hammer damage is 120. Pickup is 3.5 meters. Oh, thank God.
Oh, they also said that the animation chains to make it seem more powerful when you hit somebody with
to
a hammer.
To seem more powerful?
Nice.
Like it.
Like a
there's
noise.
Probably an audio accent that was improved.
Yeah,
that sounds great. Roaring Flames, you get 25% per stack in PvP now, and it lasts 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah, so that's the Roaring Flame buff.
They kind of, like, explained it, and then they re-explained it more specifically.
Gotcha.
So when I was doing my notes...
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, what, twice? Okay, and then Burning Maul is up to 28.5 from 21.2 duration. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Light 3% energy cost.
That is a reduction from 6. Heavy, though... costs more use because of the
heavy slam
isn't a spin,
it's a spin,
yeah.
So that
so heavy went from 6 to 8. The light one used to cost 5% of your super, now it only costs 3.
I guess that's a good
all right. Our warlock main, read the warlock,
dude. This is such a good fire team. We should game together. We've literally never
Stadia, which we'll talk about next.
Oh, there we go.
For the first good news, burst glide speed is reduced.
Oh. Wow.
That sucks.
Everybody gets a buff, and then you guys get a...
And now for Warlock.
It is crazy how fast it is.
It is. It's like jarring. Okay. I pretend to be saddened, but I mean, the rest of this stuff is actually pretty good because there's some really cool like opportunities with this. Icarus dash speed is increased, speed and thrusts. Celestial fire melee sends a spiral. So now we find, like, Warlock's already had a projectile with the...
handheld supernova?
Not handheld supernova.
No. Oh, that's
good. They did have that one, but then Chaos Reach, his class, had a had a throwable one. But this one's 3 spiraling projectiles, so I wonder if maybe...
We'll have to see it.
I wonder, because I mean, I imagine they would say that if it has tracking or not on this, but I doubt they do. But that's going to be interesting to see, like, a spiraling explosive solar projectile. Heat Rises, they reworked this one. You can, it's new, I think. Consume a grenade to extend glide.
Yeah, this is a new one.
This is new.
Celestial
Fire,
right?
No, Heat Rises. Yeah. Heat Rises. Oh, well, Celestial Fire is a new melee.
Sorry, Heat Rises is a rework. Celestial Fire is a new melee.
It's completely new. Yeah. On Heat Rises, you consume a melee to extend glide and reduce in-air penalties, accuracy penalties.
Yeah. For your weapons.
Yeah. So Wing Sun, you fire weapons and Celestial and throw grenades. Final blows grant melee energy and extend duration.
Hmm. This subclass has been retooled so that you're in the air.
You're
as
in
much
the air
possible.
A lot. So you consume your grenade, and then you can extend glide, and then you're in the air. You get a final blow. You stay longer in the air, and your melee recharges. So then you can send a melee, get another kill, extend Heat Rises, and still just continue being in the air. and then you still have Icarus Dash, which is, you know, you can use it twice in midair. Mm-hmm. They did buff the speed on that because of the burst glide nerf, so they kind of wanted to balance that.
Yeah.
That way you can still have, like, you know, that speed.
Sounds really, really fun.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited to use Wings of Sacred Dawn again.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm most excited about the Hunter stuff. What about you? Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm just excited because I want to see. I want to see, like, how long I can actually be in the air for, because that sounds really fun. I mean, it obviously makes, like,
you're
like,
just a big old target.
It makes, like, a negative modifiers, like, grounded, kind of just like, you know, because when that's on in strikes and you don't really want to run that, unless you're maybe wearing Wings of Sacred Dawn, because you get that 15%, you know, resistance, damage resistance.
So. I am pretty jealous that that the Titans don't really get a new mechanic. Like, you guys all have new stuff, right?
Everything for you is a rework?
Everything's just a rework or, like, a slight.
Is that
buff
what it said?
Or...
I actually didn't look.
Yeah. Well, because
let's see if there's anything new. No, they're all reworks.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of upsetting. Yeah. But, I mean, other than that.
I mean, they did preface it that nothing about these sets are new, like, new. They're just reworks.
The weighted knife is new on the Hunter, and the new knock 'em down is new on Hunter.
Yeah.
That knife sounds so cool.
The Celestial Fire Melee is kind of. I guess that's a rework. It kind of feels like no, because it's
what's the animation gonna be like?
It's slow enough already, so I hope they didn't slow it down even more.
Like Sword of the Berserk for your throwing.
I can't really
knife.
Remember. Like I said, I forgot it was in the game. So I'm really glad that this tree is getting a rework, because as a Titan main, actually I'm basically a Titan. I rarely play my Hunter or Warlock, so it's like this is very nice to be like if this is feasible to actually play, that would be awesome.
I was maining Titan when this one came out, and I used it for some, like, I don't know, trophy or something.
Yeah.
Or Triumph in the background. And I hated it. I was like, this is dumb. I hate this.
It's
super.
Really impractical because if you're gonna get close enough to melee, like the striker is there. Like why wouldn't you just use that?
Yeah, it's too similar almost. I do like the throwing hammer, though. That was always my favorite part. So we're going to talk about Stadia coming up, but I wanted to go over the homework. So that kind of wraps up our conversation about Season of the Undying. Mm-hmm. So your homework for next week, commenters, is how do you feel about Season of the Undying? Let us know a short version so that I could read it on the show, and then feel free to go as long as you want in your comment about your feelings about specifically Season of the Undying, not Shadowkeep. And if you can help us differentiate where one starts and one ends, that would be good. So we asked about your memorable moments, disappointing moments, etc. Alejandro said, my most memorable moment was beating Skolas on PS3 with randoms and no mics. Ooh. We danced the signal when to take away the poison. So imagine you're dancing because you're poisoned.
It's like you dance, like, all right, get ready for the swap.
How did they communicate that if they didn't have...
They would dance. They would use the dance.
But how did they set up the system?
They probably... They honestly, like, it's out. Just like they probably just like just caught on after a while. But that sounds hilarious. Rough, man.
A lot of people talked about the King's Fall raid and like that first time fighting the final boss. Good call out. Nick Brill said, most memorable moment was probably from D1 in Trials of Osiris. I was 1v3 and my teammate narrowly escaped the 3-man team to get a desperation res on me. I get through the res animation and take 2 steps to see the whole opposing team funneling down this corridor to finish my teammate. And in those few short seconds, I sprint directly at them and I surprise them all with a fist of havoc to end the round.
Wow.
I still have that clip to date, and it was probably the biggest desperation play, but so satisfying when it happened. I really hope they bring back Trials for these simple moments like that.
That's
great. I agree, and Comp sort of is scratching that itch right now. And, you know, I played last night. I'm back in the 4,000s again. I just cannot.
It gets
harder
that
the
legend.
Farther you go. But yeah, that makes, first of all, share that clip with me. I'll retweet it.
Yeah, please. Nick, tweet that at everybody.
Yeah, I want to see that. And also, I empathize with that, obviously. I empathize with that. I really want Trials to come back. And actually, these flame buffs kind of make me think, you know,
maybe.
Flame, Osiris,
Fire, Sun.
I'm getting a lot of Mercury vibes. Maybe I'm getting my hopes up. But
going back to the Infinite Forest, folks. it's an Infinite Forest rework. We're just going in backwards.
The Trials of Osiris is an Infinite Forest event.
So I'm going to skip to another Trials memory from Vulcan Wizard. He said, my most devastating moment was when I clutched the last round. We needed to win for a flawless Trials of the Nine card and celebrated. by jumping off the map. It turns out I jumped too soon and we got a tie match. We proceeded to get swept and lost.
No.
Yeah. Oh my. Stuff like that is happening.
That's brutal, dude.
That just brings me back to the trial days of like just feeling that crushing defeat when you're almost there and you lose that last like knockoff.
Anyway. I thought this was going to be like a motivational
story. That's like there's those guys who like teabag you like after they kill you, but like you're still watching them and they immediately get shotgunned by your teammate.
Oh, I'm the guy who kills those people. Yeah. I love killing a guy while they're celebrating.
So moral of the story is we see videos on it all the time. Do not celebrate until you see the screen that you have won.
Right?
Or you don't teabag because it's rude.
Yeah. I don't well, until I, mean, I hear
I'm
that.
Talking, I'm talking about this guy. He wasn't teabagging. They celebrated by jumping off, but it's just like don't celebrate until you see the you have won symbols.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I think self-res should come back for Warlocks.
I liked self-res.
It created so many cool moments in PvE and PvP.
As a Warlock main, I wouldn't be angry if it came back, mm-hmm. but it was absolutely the biggest crutch in Destiny history.
Yeah.
True.
So that was a whole mode of play that players who weren't ready to like be brave and take on some of the other subclasses.
I like it because it is interesting and also because it gives me a reason to mock Warlocks and say they're not good enough to stay alive the first time.
Here's another
or we're better than you because we have more than one life.
Another mixed memory. This one's from Guitar Geek. He says, my best memory of Destiny was when I started playing with my son on PS4 when D1 got released. My most heartbreaking moment in Destiny was when I got my son a gaming PC during D2 and he left me on PS4 telling me that he is now PC Master Race. I'm not switching to PC. My clan and friends are still on PS4. His son betrayed him.
Man, that's an epic.
That's right, telling right there, right? If you buy somebody a PC, they're going to see how much better and how much smoother it is to play games on it that they're not going to want to go backwards.
Disagree.
You're still on console, right?
I'm on console.
That's because you're on console.
Console Master Race. No. I have a gaming PC, and I've played Destiny on PC, and I've been like, take it or leave.
You're nuts. Durganos.
What are you running? Like a
Durganos
80 or something?
Says,
I have an Xbox.
Me and my friend tried to get Fabled during one of the seasons in comp. We never made it. When last season, Opulence, we decided to give it a go. We started as a duo, but with not much effect. We decided to LFG with a quote, looking for a god roll comp player, relaxed, funny, and sweaty. We found this guy who joined the post. When we started playing, this guy was definitely the star. He carried us all the way through to 2,100 points. We had so much fun along the way. Wow. For us, he was definitely a god roll teammate. We got Recluse and all the other weapons after that together with him. That's a cool story.
Nice.
I think I was that guy.
No.
Yeah.
I remember carrying those people. You're welcome.
Thank you for sending those in. Again, your homework for this week. This was good. I had a little bit more time to prep and read through some of them. Mm-hmm. So thank you, everybody who sent them in. I can't read them all, of course, but those were some of the good ones. Homework, how do you feel about Season of the Undying? That's for next week. Now, Stadia talk. We've all played Stadia.
I have
and
a Stadia.
It's kind of disappointing. What do you think?
Yeah, so actually, I didn't have a ton of problems with it.
How many PvP games did you play?
Only a few.
Actually got into one?
Yeah.
I have not.
I got into a comp game last night.
On Stadia?
On Stadia.
I have not been able to get in.
Why were you guys? Is that a thing? I didn't even know that that was a thing. I mean, the wait times were long, but
Times were long because like Stadia doesn't have a big install base. Like there was a thing which shows that like there was like 10,000 people playing the entire game.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was playing Pokemon while I was waiting in queue. So
see,
I didn't notice that it was. Yeah,
I left it queued for probably 10 minutes. Never got a match. So I just get groups in strikes. Strikes are good, but PvP no go.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how did it feel playing PvP? Was it bad? Good? Like we're somewhere in the middle.
It kind of reminded me of when I play on my phone.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah. Because I'm used to like a little bit of lag.
Wait, how do you play on your phone?
XCloud.
You use xCloud to play Destiny?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got into xCloud and I don't see Destiny on
it's
there.
It's streaming to your phone from your local console.
Okay.
So yeah, anyway, I don't know how it mechanically works, but yeah, it's like there's like a little bit of input lag, but it's not crazy. And then sometimes it gets really bad. Like did you guys experience that? I guess one of the things I did was like I did Final Assault again. I was like, I'll hop in and I'll try Final Assault again for the show tomorrow. And then I was like, this is actually pretty good. Like it was pretty responsive, but then there were parts where it just got really bad. And I have gigabyte internet.
Yeah.
Really like strong internet, like we were talking about last week. And I don't know. Stadia is kind of classist.
You know? I'm going to play positive guy for a second
yeah.
and preface any negativity with one caveat. Mm-hmm. It is so freaking cool that you can open a browser and play Destiny.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yes, there's input lag. Yes, there are issues with the service, but it's interesting. It seems like this could be somewhere that gaming goes in. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ready now, but maybe in 5 years it'll be ready. Maybe
5 years. I don't know. It was Google's history of killing projects. I don't think Stadia will be around for 5 years.
I don't think Stadia will be, but there's other services out there.
Oh,
xCloud is being developed by Xbox. I think that's more on par with what we're going to see be successful.
Yeah,
and there's like also the NVIDIA Shadow and NVIDIA...
No, it's not. It's NVIDIA. It's NVIDIA GeForce Now.
GeForce Now. Shadow
is its own thing, but it's not an actual streaming service. You're not streaming the game. You're playing it on like their computer somewhere. And then
I've not heard of that one. Have you guys tried that?
It
just a streaming. Like it streams like a Windows computer to you.
Yeah,
and you use it like a normal computer.
Okay. Point I'm trying to make is this is some cool tech. It's really interesting. It's not there yet, and it's a bummer that it's not there yet. Yeah. It does play better on my home internet, definitely, than at work. I did through a whole severe hitching at work.
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine it has to do with a lot of our like firewall issues at the IGN office. But like, I was playing, like, you gave me the phone today to play Destiny on, because I was like, oh, I haven't played it on a phone yet, so I wanted to play it. And like I have to imagine it's our Wi-Fi, but like the input lag was terrible. Like I would hit left and right, and nothing would happen. And then like 5-6 seconds later, you just see my character go, whoop, yeah. whoop, and I'm like, oh no, I can't do any of this right now.
I switched the network when I took it back from you, and I had the same issues, but it was playable. I played through the whole strike that I got queued into, the one with the electricity guy at the end.
Electricity guy?
It's the Nightfall at the end this week. The old Nightfall.
Oh, the Fanatic, the Hallowed Lair.
Yes, yeah.
Electricity guy. Like, what?
That's, I was like, what? Yeah, yeah, just
that guy. Electricity man.
Now it electricity makes sense. Man. He is an electricity guy.
That's his canon name. If you read the lore, you'd know that, Brian.
It's actually called Arc.
He's got Arc staff.
Never mind. I'll stop making up lies. But anyway,
people are going to think that you're serious in the comments.
I think our reviewer did a fantastic job with the Stadia review. IGN gave it a 6. He has a comprehensive breakdown about why he gave it that. And check the comments if you want to know about his internet speeds and stuff.
Basically, when it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that comes in pretty far and few in between.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's inspiring. But you're not missing anything if you didn't get one.
I'm sure it's got to be worse than a 6 for somebody in like, you know, a state that doesn't have great internet.
Yeah, it's not about your internet.
Really?
It's mostly about the connection with the Google servers. So, I mean, it's a little bit about your internet. So if you have like...
Yeah, I think they want like 10.
What's Xfinity?
They want like what do you mean?
They want 10.
They want
2010 or something like that.
2010 or something.
20 down, 10 up. Yeah. That's what they need.
But it's got to be stable.
To perform. And you'll get 1080.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It so, can be up and down. I think most people's internet is pretty. Yeah.
So the use case is like a hotel, right? A, most hotels don't have that for internet speed.
No, you're going to go on there and it's going to be 0.86. And you're like, oh, cool. 1999 internet.
Can't use it there. And there's just, it's just too limited of a use case for gaming at this time.
Yeah.
We'll see how it grows. We'll report back in a year. Or in 6 months.
Are you guys planning on playing Destiny at all on Stadia?
Like, no.
Is it going to be no?
I mean, I will sometimes.
If you're on your laptop or...
If like I'm somewhere that has like stable internet, sure. But I mean, like I go to a lot of hotels and they all have just crap internet.
Yeah.
And like when that was the thing that was exciting for me when Stadia was pitched. And then like hotel internet sucks in most places in the US.
About Airbnbs though?
Yeah, that's different too. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like most hotels in the US, they're just greedy and they have just crap internet and it's too slow. It will not function properly.
I guess I was expecting it to be slightly worse than it was. To be honest, I was like, this is kind of cool, but it also only had like 2 games.
Or
at least the free ones.
I played it at a lot of events and I'm like, wow, this is great.
That's because
I'm still skeptical.
Very curated and controlled environments you cannot test Stadia unless you're out in the wild.
Yeah.
I tried xCloud at E3 and it was kind of similar to what it is. So
xCloud for me was had a lot of latency noticeable at any event I tried it at.
Really?
I'm in it at home. I haven't really had a chance to try it yet. So I want to get the console sync thing working. I got to get in the back end thing where you can stream from your console. That's the way I want to try
it. That's
what
first. I'm doing. Yeah. Something with that. Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, that's all we had for this episode. It's a little bit of a slower week in Destiny. It seems like things are going to slow down for the next what do we have, 19 days left in the season pass before Season of Dawn comes back?
About 3 weeks. But yeah, we'll probably have some news about Dawn
coming up.
Trials.
Next week, Travis isn't going to be here. I'm telling him now for the first time. Because we're recording on a different day, well, maybe he'll be here.
He might not.
We'll figure it out. We have a really weird schedule next week because it's Thanksgiving. So we're closing down Thursday and Friday, so we would be recording earlier in the week.
We normally record on the Friday, so we won't be here. We have to work. And we'll be recording before the weekly TWAB, so...
Yep.
It's going to be an interesting week because if we put up an episode where we don't discuss anything and it's like they announce like everything Season of Dawn next week and we put up the episode after TWAB and it's like these guys aren't talking about anything about the new information and we're just completely oblivious to it.
Next week might come early and it might be a little shorter.
Or we could do something fun.
No, that's crazy.
Make it a special.
Anyway, that's it for this episode. No, we'll probably do that. That's it for this episode, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.